Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. We're going to talk to Tony Award-winning producers in about 20 minutes from now. But first, it's the day that the Quincy Fire Department stops by, and Assistant Fire Chief James Pyok is here today. And boy, that was one of the first things I had to learn was how to pronounce your name when you got promoted, because I'm always reading your press releases, and I would, for a while, there was just unnamed firefighter because I couldn't pronounce the name Pyok. Where does that come from? What nationality is that?
Well, the pronunciation is not intuitive when you see it spelled, but I'm told it's German.
Oh, okay.
But it's what was Germany long before World War II. So
right.
That part of Germany is now Poland.
Yes. Well, I just got back from Poland, and Poland's been everything.
Yes.
Poland's been Russia, Poland's been Germany, Poland's been almost everything. So, yes, your family probably owned and ruled part of Poland and Germany at one time, and then things happened.
As far as I know.
And then you came here, and everything is great. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your career with the Quincy Fire Department, because I know one of the things you're always trying to do is get more people interested in fire service. So
absolutely.
A lot of people want to know, how did you get excited about it? How did you get started?
I am an atypical story, so I would encourage anybody who is even remotely interested in the fire service to apply and test for it. I did not know if I would succeed or not. It's something I wanted to try. It's something I wanted to do. So when the Quincy Fire Department ran their ad back in 1995, I submitted an application. I showed up. I took the test. I took the physical agility test. Did the oral interviews with the Board of Police and Fire Commissioners and scored well enough to get hired off of that list.
Fantastic. So you went from, maybe I'll just try it out, to I'm a full-fledged firefighter.
That first year was my introduction to everything. I was a complete rookie. I had no knowledge, and I realized this is what I want to do, and I've been doing it for 29 years.
That is fantastic, and you worked your way up the ranks, which is another reason why people like the fire service. If you desire a promotion, and if you have the get up and go to get the extra education or get the extra training you need to get a promotion, you can rise.
Absolutely.
Well, yes. I remember I interviewed a former Chief Walker one time. I said, how'd you get interested? He goes, I had no interest whatsoever. My buddy wanted to take the test, so I said, okay, I'll go with you. He ended up being the chief of the Quincy Fire Department.
Did.
He goes, I couldn't have been more disinterested that first day. I couldn't. He goes, I would have never thought. I don't think anybody looking at me went, someday that guy's going to be chief. But it just goes to show, if you get a job and you love it, everything works out.
Absolutely. Just apply yourself, learn it as best you can, and prepare yourself for the next level.
Well, that is what it's all about. And of course, I was just talking with Joe Henning, former chief, yesterday.
Sure.
He's taking on extra class load this year at Western Illinois University, where he is a professor now. So his fire science department up there is doing great guns. So they're not going to get the layoffs that some others are going to have. But he's had a few cutbacks in his department. Everybody at Western Illinois is sharing the pain, I guess we should say. So what do you bring to us today? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, we are currently recruiting, and we are going to be testing for new firefighters. We maintain a list that's good for 2 years, and that list is set to expire at the end of the year. So we have applications that we are now taking. If you go to the Quincy's city website, which is quincyil.gov, just type that in, quincyil.gov, and scroll down until you see where it says firefighter applications. And if you click on it, it'll have pretty much every piece of information that you'll need as far as qualifications. The application itself is downloadable PDF files. You can fill that out on the computer, fill it out by hand, but then you got to scan it and email it back. And, of course, the email address is at that website. Those applications will be taken for the next 4 weeks. The deadline is September 6th, which I believe is a Friday. And there is a written component to that test, and that will be Saturday, September 28th. And all that information, again, is on the city's website.
And even those who are on the list, they'll have to retest and start over again?
Correct, because that list will expire. Okay. I don't know the exact date, but I do know it's later this year.
Well, one of the weird things about the list, everybody on the list could be hired if there were a lot of retirements. Or the list could have some great candidates on it and just have no openings. But Quincy Fire Department's kind of primed right now to have some pretty good opportunities for junior men and women coming forward, because a lot of the older tribe are getting ready to hang up their fire hats, right?
I accept that title, older tribe, yes.
Are you one of them?
I am one of them. I plan on retiring next year, so whoever my replacement will come off the new list. And it's my understanding there's at least two others, so probably three, if not more,
okay,
candidates.
So this is one of the things. It's you're not forced to retire because of age, but it is a younger man's game, isn't it?
Definitely.
Or younger woman's game. I shouldn't exclude the ladies.
No, we've had women on our lists in the past. We have one now. I'm sure we'll have one on the next list as well. Just haven't hired enough people to get to that particular position. And it is a younger person's job, and that's the physical aspect of being a firefighter. I've been fortunate to have risen up to the level of assistant chief. My job is not near as physical as the others. I think if I were still to be a firefighter, I would have retired by now just because of the demands on my body.
Okay. So a lot of people retire from fire service relatively young, but you have a great pension. So, you know, it's a chance for a second career as well. I also do want to say that even though you may not be the front line of fighting a fire as the assistant chief, you are still expected to be able to do those tasks, right?
That is correct. We still partake in all the training. And while we may not have to crawl through a smoky room, we still have to wear our air packs if necessary, because the time could come where we have what they call forward command in a large building, for example, where we're running it from inside and need that air pack. So we still need to maintain our ability.
You still have to do the hose and all the other things that are happening. And
yes.
That's why firefighters are usually in pretty good shape. And, of course, you have some downtime, and I think there's a lot of weightlifting equipment and physical fitness equipment at the fire stations to help you keep in good shape, right?
There is. I particularly like the treadmill for its cardio. That's my weakness. I need to work on that.
Well, what I tell all the firefighters when they come on, I was in Unmasking the Singer, and I had to wear the firefighter mascot outfit.
Oh, right.
And that bunker gear is so darn heavy and hot. You don't have to worry about me trying out for the list. I wouldn't make it if my life depended on it. So you're here to say that firefighting is a good career. Go to the City of Quincy website, learn about it. You don't have to have prior experience, but if you do, that's fine as well. But they'll take somebody and put them through all the training that they need to if they think they have the potential to be a great firefighter.
Yes, they'll spend probably a month on the department just working days, getting familiar with terminology, the equipment, and how to do different tasks, and then we send them to a fire academy, and there's several of those throughout the state. Typically, it's the one in Champaign, but there's one in Peoria, and there's other ones elsewhere throughout the state, and that's a pretty rigorous program. It's between 6 to 10 weeks, depending on which classes you need.
Is the funnest part driving the truck? Because that, to me, would be the fun part.
That was enjoyable, not just the driving it, but the pumping it. There's all sorts of mathematical equations involved. You have to know how much water you're flowing. Can you pull a second hose line off and still maintain that first hose line based on the pressure, the amount of water you're flowing? So there's math involved and problem solving, which was my favorite part.
But driving also can be damn scary because a lot of times people say, oh, there's a siren. I think I'll just pull right out in front of that big red truck that's got a siren on it.
And with the new cars, they're so sealed up and protected from the environment, it's hard to hear the siren sometimes.
My husband and I were startled. I mean, I jumped out of my skin the other day at the corner of 12th and Chestnut. We had the radio on, not loudly, but we had the radio on, and I have a new car, and all of a sudden, this siren was on top of us. It was the ambulance. It was right on top of us. And, you know, I jumped because I knew that I wanted to get out of the way, so I just pulled over, you know, maintained control, but I was startled. I could have wrecked my car. So that's one thing to think about. So everybody go and experience taking the test and seeing if you, like James Pyock, can be someday an assistant chief at the Quincy Fire Department. You got to start somewhere.
And if you're hired before September of next year, I will help train you.
Okay. That's another added incentive to take the test this year. This morning I was saying that I wanted to definitely talk to the firefighters, and I never know who's going to come, of course, because they all have different shifts, and some of them are out fighting a fire right now, I'm sure. But this dog got a hold of a battery recharging device and was chewing on it. And, of course, the dog, you know, was able to pierce the skin of this battery pack and started a spark and basically almost burned down this family's home in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I have heard about that.
Yeah. So, and the weird thing is it's all caught on video because they have interior and exterior video on the home. So I don't know what if the family was alerted and that's how they called 911, because you know the dog didn't do it. But there are a lot of dangers, fire dangers in our homes. Can you just run over as we get ready to send kids back to school? Can you just run over some of the fire dangers that people may not really think about as fire dangers in the home?
Well, you mentioned that battery pack, and anything that has electricity, whether it's a DC charge or an AC charge, which is your outlets, is a hazard because it generates heat. Anything that can generate heat, whether it's a motor or electricity running through an extension cord. And probably the biggest problems we see are extension cords and power strips that are not UL certified. It should have some kind of certification that it's been tested and that it's safe to use. And you never want to use a lightweight extension cord with heavy appliances, especially air conditioners.
I think a lot of people want to go cheap. And that UL listing, you have to pay for that. It costs more, but you know, it's the cost of your home. It's the cost of your family. And we still have people that don't have a smoke alarm in their home, and yet the fire department and the Red Cross will help you install those free of charge, from what I understand.
Yes, all you need to do is either call the Red Cross or call the fire department, and we will schedule an appointment with you, and we will actually do the installs for you.
Do you find that you get a lot of calls from people who are renters? I mean, I know that's the landlord's responsibility, but renters sometimes steal the batteries upon exit and things like that. Is it more likely there will not be a working smoke alarm in a rental property or in a privately owned home?
I would say it's almost equal.
Really?
Just because we do have calls mostly from private occupants that own or have a mortgage on their property, and yes, we'll install those, as well as the renters. It is the landlord's responsibility, but if it's a day and they don't have a smoke detector, we will install it because it's most important to have it overnight. Right. It's the 2 a.m. smoke scares that you don't know about. You sleep through those. And one of the other things we see is people taking the batteries out of the smoke detectors because they burned a pie in the oven. That's okay, but what I would suggest you do is put that battery on your pillow so that when you go to bed at night, you remember to reinstall it.
Right. Yeah, if you're a bad cook, and I've had some incidents where the smoke alarm's gone off, you don't disable the smoke alarm because it could happen again, and you definitely don't want to, like you said, you'll forget to put the batteries back in. The great thing about these new smoke alarms, you don't have to worry about all that because they pretty much last for 15 years, 10, 15 years, and then you just get a new one and throw the old one away. You don't have to worry about the batteries, right?
That's right. The sealed, I think they're lithium. Well, they're not lithium ion. They're sealed ion batteries,
okay.
But they last for about 10 years. And it'll have an expiration date on the back, too.
So all you have to do is test it regularly to see that it's still got a charge and you're A-okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so be careful with your extension cords. Be careful with your power strips. You know, a lot of kids are going to be trying to plug in stuff now, you know, in their house. Always have that working smoke detector. Anything else that maybe the average person doesn't think about that fire departments go, ugh, if people would just stop doing this.
Well, dogs have been responsible for various and sundry problems.
They can turn on the stove sometimes.
Sure. And I know you don't want them chewing up your good pillows, so you put them out of reach, but do the same things with your batteries, your rechargeables, anything that's plugged in. If they can gnaw on the cords, tuck it out of the way.
Yeah. Your shoes won't spark a fire if they chew them up, but your battery-operated devices, Vito can definitely spark a fire. Again, the Quincy Fire Department is getting ready to hire. They're going to need new people, and they're developing a new list of potential firefighters, women and men. There is an upper limit on how old you can be to apply. Is it 35?
That is the generalized limit. You have to be at least 20 years old, and you cannot be older than 35 years on the day of the test, and that would be September 28th of this year. So if your birthday is between September 29th, 1988, and September 28th, 2004, you are eligible to apply unless you are currently an active career firefighter with an Illinois fire department or fire district. And there's also exceptions made for those in the military.
Okay, fantastic. Again, go to the City of Quincy website and consider firefighting as a career. James Pyak was not considering firefighting as a career, but he's been doing it now for 29 years. And he's announced that he's going to intend to retire next year. We'll see if they actually let you go.
We'll see.
So we'll see. But thank you very much for your service today. We'll be back and talk with our Tony Award winners. They're in the green room. It's 9:35. And this report from the IRSA Farmers Cooperative is brought to you by Rex Battery. And thank you to Rex Battery for participating and being part of the sponsorship of the Mary Griffith Show, along with Refreshment Services Pepsi. Well, they're here, and they wear so many different hats, I hardly know what to say. Ryan Tanner, Quincy native, and Jay Crotinger, non-Quincy native. But they found each other, and now Jay has a newfound love for Quincy because of that. And whether he wants to be here or not, he is dragged back on a regular basis. So
I'm here.
You're here. Okay. He prefer the bright lights of the big city. But what does Tulsa, Dallas, and New York have that Quincy doesn't have? And so we're going to talk today a little bit about, first and foremost, you guys are entrepreneurs. You've reopened the patio restaurants. You've got a boutique hotel in the make. You've got an Armory event center. We want to talk about all that. But I want to first find out, how excited were you when you found out that you were going to get a Tony for being producers for The Outsiders on Broadway? That had to be, like, really thrilling, because you always hope that the play will be rewarded. But, you know, there's a lot of good things out there this year. So what was it like, Jay, when... Were you guys there, or were you watching on TV?
Silence allowed on the radio, because I was speechless. You know, there are some crowning moments in your career and life that you get to experience, and humbly, you know, the whole experience associated with The Outsiders was just something that's indescribable. And, you know, small history, you know, we've been part of the project since late 2018, early 2019, as a co-producer and an investor from the very beginning and through its development. So with all the challenges of the pandemic and just creative changes with the production, working our way towards the opening this year, could not have been a better pathway for us. And, of course, the season of Broadway was extraordinarily competitive.
The most competitive in history.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, you won on a year when there was... You didn't necessarily think this is a home run. I mean, yeah. There was a lot of competition.
Well, I think of, like, winning a Tony Award is like winning a gold medal. So being a production that is nominated is like being accepted as a participant in the Olympics. So everyone that is part of the Tony Award ceremony, you have already won, because your production has checked all the boxes. It is a success. It's been critically acclaimed and received by all those who are voters and so on. So the industry is rubber stamped, you know, what that production looks like to be a part of the Tony Awards. So being there is just a wonderful honor to begin with, to being a nominee and so on. But then to walk away with 4 Tony Awards, including the best musical of the season, is really humbling. And we're so grateful for everyone who has participated in, from a creative standpoint, our investors, other co-producers,
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, you were dropping her name. Oh, I was loved it that last time you were, a couple of times ago, you were, she goes, Angelina. I'm like, okay. You might want to have to say Angelina Jolie. Not everybody is on a first name basis with her. But you guys help find the big money that can make this happen. You start out as investors and you put your money and sweat equity into it, and then you have to continue to attract more and more people to get on that train ride with you. And we all know that a lot of people have a project that they're trying to get on Broadway and it never happens. So The fact that it even gets to Broadway is a win. Like you said, the fact that you get nominated, that's like, it's an honor just to be nominated. But there's nothing like winning. Nobody goes to the Olympics saying, gee whiz, I don't care if I win a gold medal. You're hoping for the gold.
Right.
And you got it in the theater world. And it's not the first time you've done that.
No. No, the very first one of the very first shows that we co-produced was the revival of Stephen Schwartz's Pippin, which was essentially its 40th anniversary. It had never been revived or brought back to Broadway until 2013. And we won our very first Tony Award there. Also with the revival of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, which is when I first became aware of you guys on the radar screen. And I'm like, wow. And that was a very interesting retelling of Oklahoma, very modern.
People loved it or you hated it.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Yeah.
Traditionalists hated it.
Traditionalists probably did hate it. But again, when you are bringing something back that's already had a long run and everybody already knows what it is, if you don't reimagine it, why would you buy tickets for it?
That's the whole purpose of reviving something, is to bring it back in. You want to honor the material and the music, but you also want to bring it back in a way which has been represented, something that's modern. You know, not everyone's accepting of that, but that's okay.
So, The Outsiders will continue to run, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Broadway shows run until they can't sell any more tickets to break even, and if they can't pay rent or the box office sees aren't making enough money, they kick them out, and another show comes along. We are here to stay, and I think it's fair to say, in the overall assessment of Broadway shows that are running,
Come From Away ran for 5 years.
Right. But The Outsiders is a mega hit. And that is an important thing to be able to acknowledge with the show.
Bigger than any other show we've been a part of.
Correct.
So
correct.
It's, you know, Come From Away was huge.
Yeah.
Five casts around the world, grossed almost $300 million in sales. This is going to probably, if not run forever, I really don't see this one ending.
And okay.
Based on our advanced ticket
sales.
It's
going to be Cats.
Yeah, yes.
No.
We just opened Blocks. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
Through now, June of 25.
So this is where these investors finally get some payback because,
yeah.
By golly, it's so expensive to launch a show. And even though tickets are, by most modern, you know, by Quincy, Illinois standards, very expensive, so's the real estate, so's the talent, so's the lighting. I mean, how long would it take on average? Oklahoma to recoup and really say, okay, now I got my money back. Now I can start making some money. How long does something like that take? Because, you know, a lot of people put money into a project. They want to see like a payback within 6 months. You guys might have to make 6 years, maybe.
No.
Not that long.
Never waited that long.
Okay.
No. I would say that probably the longest we've waited is probably 18 months.
Okay.
Something like
yeah.
that.
That's
but
a long
our shortest
time.
Yeah. Our shortest recoupment period was 9 months on a production.
And we just started recoupment for Outsiders.
Yeah.
When we opened.
Yeah. Well, because it's so successful.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
again. Is it more important to be critically acclaimed to get the Tony or to have the box office money rolling
the money.
In?
The money.
The money.
The money. Because that's our investors' money. Our
right.
money, of course, too, but really we need...
Yeah, we would want Angelina not to have to buy, you know, not to be able to buy
yes,
a new pair of shoes.
I'm sure she's getting these checks. She's like, what is this for?
Yeah. Whereas you guys are like, oh, good, it's here. Yeah, that's the difference between Jay and Ryan
yes,
and Angelina.
There's
it's like, Mom, your mailbox is full. Okay, well, I have to go to the bank. Whereas
yeah.
you guys are sitting there... waiting for the postman to arrive.
We are.
But no, but you've done this before, so you know
yeah.
there may be a time frame before you get payback.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for
yes.
sure. And we do a good job of explaining that to our investors.
Yeah. So, what's next?
Well, go ahead.
Well, if anyone is familiar with a documentary, it's a 2012 documentary. You should just get on Hulu or Netflix or just Google it.
Anything streaming.
Yeah, anything streaming. Look up the documentary. It's called The Queen of Versailles. And it has been adopted for a stage musical of the very same name, The Queen of Versailles, starring Kristen Chenoweth. And she portrays the role of, and this is a real person, her name is Jackie Siegel. And you, like I said, if you look up The Queen of Versailles, it's a documentary, and it's about the Siegel family. It's like something you would never even dreamed of, that, and how in the world could you turn something like that, which is a documentary, into a musical? But I have to tell you, it just opened in Boston for its pre-Broadway run, and it is phenomenal. And let me tell you what, Kristen Chenoweth, this is a tour de force performance by her, and including what an interesting, what I feel like is something new happening. You know, when Hamilton came to Broadway, it was revolutionary, okay? Just like The Chorus Line and some other big shows, you know, Miss Saigon. I feel like, for the very first time ever, a documentary being portrayed in a musical, and the way that it happens on the stage is revolutionary. It is something new that has never been done before, because it's reality TV mm-hmm. portrayed as a musical, and it's all the music of Stephen Schwartz, who
yeah.
wrote the music
for
Wicked.
For the first time since Wicked.
So Kristen Chenoweth, of course, is familiar with him, and
yes.
yeah.
Well, that's going to be great. Okay, so you're trying it out in Boston.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead. We just opened last week.
Okay.
The reviews for Thursday, and they were mixed to decent. Yeah.
But they told us what we need to get fixed.
Right now, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes. It was 3 weeks ago.
Okay, guys, we don't want to go to something that long.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
So that's one of the hardest things, and I know that from theater. It's like cut.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you know. You got to do one less step ball chain. Okay,
yeah.
It's just a little
right.
bit too much. Okay.
But between now and next July, we will spend our time focusing on what the reviews have to say and so on,
and fixing
the show. That's why we do a pre-Broadway run. Anytime a show is, it's going pre-Broadway, it's because it's the time for them. Everything's been in the studio and research and development. Now we're throwing the kitchen sink at the stage, and then we start to trim, modify, edit, and really hone it down to the perfect commercial production, which this will open next summer in July of 25. It'll be part of the 25-26 Broadway season.
Okay, so again, by the time it makes it to Boston, it's already pretty darn good.
It's
so
yes.
you know, but
we have a lot of Quincyans that are visiting it this week.
Good.
Yeah.
I think I know some of
yes,
them that
yes.
are out there. That is fantastic. Well, we're excited about that. I'm going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about some other endeavors they have right here in our little old hometown of Quincy, which in many ways are even more economically potent because you don't have to go to New York
That's
to
right.
be part of the great economic development that these two men are trying to spark right here in our hometown. So let's take a break and we'll come right back. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Not only Tony producers, which they're very, very successful at, but they're also trying to become successful restaurateurs, hotel developers, and event center developers. And they're doing a pretty damn good job, but there's always room for improvement, especially in any business like that. The service industry, the hospitality industry is fraught with all kinds of problems. So let's just start out right now. Ryan Tanner, Jay Crodinger. How are things going at the patio? Let's start at the patio.
The patio, well, we just turned 3 this year since our reopen, since the revival.
So you're still writing on the walls with crayons.
We're still doing that. Also, the patio turned 65 this year.
Great.
You can believe that. Seems extraordinary. So we've got a heavy emphasis this year on families. Teresa, our general manager, started these princess parties that just sell like gangbusters. Our next one is Friday, September 13th. So again, the idea of getting families and children into the restaurant, we just decided yesterday that starting next week, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, kids eat for $5 with the purchase of a regular priced entree. So $5 all in for kids with per entree with an adult. We also on Thursdays are doing a great pasta night. People kept saying, when's the pasta bar coming back? When's the pasta bar coming back? Well, it's not coming back, but what I can do is a pasta night. So it's 3 courses all in, $25. You have a scallopini, a pesto, you get a beautiful cheesecake at the end, all for $25.
You know, I like the idea. It's so funny. Now, when I was little, you couldn't go to the patio if you were a kid. Nobody
yes.
could afford that. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
you had to be a teenager before you even saw inside the patio. That was the grown-up thing, you know. But I like the idea because, you know, people that are younger and have kids, they have a little bit more disposable income, and they don't want to leave their kids out of these experiences. But they don't
want to
spend $50
exactly.
for a filet mignon for a 5-year-old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you're meeting the need of your customers.
We're listening. We're listening.
I'm still not allowed in the patio.
So the patio is going strong. And
we also have a brunch on Sundays from 10 to 1. Yeah.
And has that been good?
People love it.
Good.
It's
I've had a lot of people say they really enjoy it.
Great price point. The Bloody Mary is off the hook. Really, really good. We have a new emphasis on catering, a new menu that just came out, and we're booking holiday parties for corporations and private dinners.
Oh, yes. If you want your Christmas party,
you better call us now
to book at the patio. And if it's not at the patio, ensure you talk with us about catering and making sure we can cater it at the location you go.
Email reservations@tanninger.com.
Yeah, that's
right.
Reservations.
And you can cater at other places as well, which brings us to the next thing. You also own the event center,
yeah,
the old Armory.
Yeah, with Megan and Ryan Fisher. Yep.
Okay. So, and they were on talking about how they've reimagined that and everything. And I know the bicentennial kickoff is there.
Yeah, Aaron Appine and I are chairing it.
Yes, so that's going to be fantastic. So how is that business going?
Really, really good. We have to say we're so fortunate because this is the first time in a business venture that Jay and I haven't done the heavy lifting. Megan and Ryan have done such a wonderful job. There's things happening that we don't even understand or know about. And that's like,
oh my gosh, we have a heavy weekend. There's the wedding show. There's a wedding dinner reception. The whole weekend is packed and full.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. We have air conditioning. We've got it's the whole thing is just a phenomenal facility. So if you have any kind of event you want down there, I think it's armory@reservations.com. Armory@tanninger.com is our correct email for anything going on down there.
Okay, and then I have to ask, you've been trying to turn the old Illinois State Bank building into a hotel.
We're almost there.
You're almost there? Okay, well, give me an update on how almost is almost.
Well, the issue is it's a very old building.
Get right on your microphone there.
The issue is it's a very old building
yes.
and very expensive. And so the final numbers came back at about $18.5 million, which didn't cash flow. And so we went back to the federal government, went back to the state of Illinois, and between those two entities, we earned approximately $7 million in tax credits. After that, we went to the city and asked for some help and assistance on the hotel motel tax to split that with us, because right now it's zero for the city. So we have to be a hit in order to get our credit back. But we worked with city council, and by a vote of, I think, 12 to 1, with one person not being there, we prevailed. It really makes all the difference. So we really can't thank city council and the mayor and Chuck Belverheimer for their tenacity and for giving and believing in what we're trying to do. Because if we can't do that, I don't know who else is going to come around the corner with that to be able to deliver that project.
Well, let's talk about competition, because, you know, you own a restaurant and there's a lot of competition for restaurants, and new restaurants are always vying to come into Quincy. Not that, you know, Cane's is a direct competitor, but
sure.
I remember talking to the old owners of the patio that said pancake and sausage breakfast is a direct competitor. I mean, anytime somebody spends money anywhere but my restaurant, it's a competition
for me.
And that's correct. There's also talk that there could be some more hotels coming into town. Now, does this frighten you? Does this encourage you? Because the more hotels we have, the more conventions, so it'll eventually fill your hotel too?
Pretty savvy guys, so we believe in a strong pro-economic growth solution. So, of course, the more hotels, the better.
So you're not one of these people like, oh, I have to have this, my little piece of the pie, and nobody else can have a piece of the pie because... And I like that idea because I think the rising tide does lift all boats. And we've struggled. We have this convention center that has been so underutilized for over decades now because we don't have enough hotel space.
Yes, so build them.
So build it. And this is within walking distance of our civic center. All of our hotels near the civic center, many of them, have gone downhill and are in disarray. Many, not all, but many. And now they think, well, we'll build a new one out by the highway. Well, that's not going to get anybody to come to the convention center.
Exactly. No, we're in agree. We try to, and we're going to do a project. There has to be a reason for it, a why for it. You know, how do we feel like we are going to differentiate ourselves in the market? With the patio, we've done that. With the Armory, we've done that. We are not like other restaurants at all here. The event center is unlike other event centers. Same for the hotel. It's going to be a very unique experience. It's a very much an experience, just like those other two spaces.
Yeah, and going back to tourism, you know, there's market research that suggests here in Quincy there's short about 150 hotel rooms.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This project alone will assist in creating a third of new hotel rooms to accommodate for that shortage. So we see an enormous upside to all of these projects, not just for, you know, what's going on downtown with Quincy, but we also see it as an opportunity for tourism. So, you know, in the end, that benefits this entire community with tax dollars and recognition, and also seeing Quincy as an opportunity for other business opportunities. So we see the big picture, and we think of this 25 years down the road. There's apparently and supposedly a new bridge coming at some point, and a river project, and the dredge project, and all those things we see as big benefits for downtown to be ahead of the game long term.
Another thing that I think is way off of people's radar screen and should be right there on it is Father Augustus Tolton's sainthood cause.
I know.
We will have trains coming from Chicago just filled with people who will be downtown, who will want to eat downtown, who will want to see all the sights downtown because of Tolton.
What's the status on that?
Well,
there's waiting, right?
Yes, and what really could screw it up is if Francis, you know, every time we get a new pope, you don't start from scratch, but it gets off mark.
So we've
got to hope Francis lives for a while. Mm-hmm. Whether you like Francis or not, as long as he's there, the cause keeps going forward,
right.
You know. But even though he hasn't become a saint yet, still the fact that he is blessed and venerable, people are now knowing about him, and people are coming from all over the United States. We had a pilgrimage came from the West Coast, walked through Quincy and stopped at his grave on their way to Indianapolis. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Those people, if we can capture them, you know, we've already got Mark Twain. We've already got Nauvoo. We've got Mormons and frog jumpers out our ears. You know, let's get everybody to come. And like you said, let's make that big. And I think the fact that you guys are so involved in the world of arts gives you an expansive look. Like, well, we can't just have the same old thing. If you're going to do Oklahoma, it can't be the same Oklahoma. It's got to be a different Oklahoma.
Right.
If you're going to do reality TV for the stage, it's got to be something completely different, like the Queen of Versailles. So you get the idea that it can't be the same old thing.
Well, and you know, I'm not from here. I'm from Tulsa. And Tulsa has, over the last 25, 30 years, experienced a really unique thing downtown. We have, it has grown, it's been a renaissance, and things have changed, and it has made Tulsa attractive for natives that moved away from Tulsa to come back and experience something that they want to enjoy that they've experienced in other locations around the U.S., whether it's been a big city or a small one, something that's unique and different that makes it home for them. And when I come to Quincy, I see that here too, that there's a generation or two that have moved away and they have had their careers and families and they're looking at, oh, I want to come back home. And when they come back to Quincy, they're probably also looking for a unique, fun, and new different things that are exciting to them to bring and raise their family and to invite their friends to. So we see all this as an enormous opportunity for that to also happen with the projects we have going on here. When people come to the patio, we get comments all the time. Oh my gosh, I've never experienced anything like this in patio or here in Quincy. I've seen it. This belongs in Chicago, or this is what I've seen in LA, or you know. So it's a huge compliment to our efforts, but that means we're doing something right, and we want to ensure that we're continuing those efforts to bring young people back to the community.
Okay, the band is playing you off on your acceptance speech. Thank you very much for joining me today, Brian Tanner and Jay Croninger. Jay, who doesn't like to talk, give him a chance.
Yeah.
Okay, I love
guilty.
You both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for joining me today.